This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today, I will be taught the word of faith. I boldly confess that my mind is alert, my heart is receptive, and I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, and everybody shout it.
Amen.
Amen. All right, so we are in a series entitled God's Way, God's Way Part 2, and something that you always hear me say, that if you'll do it God's way, what's going to happen? You're going to get God results, right? We live in a culture that teaches you that you can just do whatever you want to do, and how many know that couldn't be the furthest thing from the truth? Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And so we understand that we've got to do it God's way. To the degree that we will commit to follow God, to follow His word, and to follow His plan for our lives, we will see God do amazing things in our lives. Can I get a big amen? All right. Isaiah 55 and 8 says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, and neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than yours. And all God's saying is I'm smarter than you. That's the bottom line. And so God is not going to come down to our way of doing things. He's not going to come down to our level of doing things. He wants us to come up to His way of doing things and His level of thinking. And so today, we're going to stay kind of in the book of James. We'll veer off just a little bit. But I want to talk to you, because we're talking about just doing things God's way. I want to talk to you about trials and temptations. Everybody say trials and temptations. All right, and so go with me to James, the first chapter, and the first verse. Of course, they'll put everything up on the screen, and so you'll be able to look at it up there. James, the first chapter, and the first verse. And so what I want to do is I want to talk to you a little bit about trials. Another word for trials can be test or challenges, all right? And then we'll talk about temptations just a little bit later. But watch what James says, and I love James, the book of James. James just teaches you just to do it. James teaches you about a lot of things. He's like, hey, just make it happen. Just walk by faith, just tame your tongue. You got to just ask God for wisdom. Like when you read James, it'd probably take you 10 minutes to read the book of James, but it is power packed. Some theologians call it the Proverbs of the New Testament because there's so much wisdom in it. He says, James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. Watch what he says in verse 2. He greets them and he jumps right into it. He says, my brethren, count it all what, class? He says, kind of all joy when you fall into various trials. Some translations say tests. And another word you can just use is challenges. And so he says, count it all joy when you fall into various trials and tests. And a lot of times, you know, one thing that I put in big caps after I did this is nobody wants to hear that. Like nobody wants to hear count it all joy when you're going through. Nobody wants to hear count it all joy and have a smile on your face and keep a good attitude when there's tests and challenges and trials. But how many know as long as you live this earth, you're just going to go through some things? That's what the Bible teaches us in Psalms 34:19, that many are the afflictions of the righteous. But thank God it doesn't stop there. He makes a commitment that He will help us not out of some of them, but out of all of them. And so God makes a commitment. So James says, count it all joy when you fall into various trials and tests. And so, you know, we don't want to hear that, but we really need to hear that. And we have to recognize that that is just part of what's going on. You know, a lot of times, I heard my dad say this when I was a little boy, and I think the older I get, I kind of more understand it. And, you know, he says, when it comes to tests and when it comes to challenges and it comes to trials, he says, you either have just gone through one, you're going through one, or you're about to go through one. You got it. And I don't like that, especially being a faith guy. You know, I don't talk like that. But the Bible actually teaches us that that's going to happen, you know. How many in the room will just be honest? I've either been through one or I'm going through one just recently, you know. Just raise your hand. You go, how many are sitting next to that trial? No, I mean, don't raise your hand. That was a trick question, all right? And so let's talk from the subject of how to deal with trials. Don't raise your hand on that one, praise the Lord. All right. How to deal with trials. I'm going to give you 4 points on how to deal with trials. Real loud. Everybody say number one.
Number
All right, number one, recognize what's really going on. Recognize what's really going on. When I'm presented with a challenge, when I'm presented with a trial, when I'm presented with a situation that's going on in my life, I have to recognize what's going on. Watch what he says in verses 2 through 3 of James 1. He says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing this, that the testing of your faith produces what? Patience." So he says that actually when you're going through a test, when you're going through a trial, when you're going through a challenge, you have to understand that it actually produces some things in your life. It produces some character in your life. It produces some patience in your life. And you've got to understand that God does allow us to go through various trials and tests. I do not believe that God puts things on us. I don't see that anywhere in the Word of God. However, I do think that God will allow us to go through some things. And just because you're going through a trial doesn't mean you're a bad person. It doesn't even necessarily mean you've done anything wrong. You got it? There's a devil out there. He is the god of this world. But Jesus says, "Be not dismayed. I have overcome the world. I have stripped it of his right to harm and to hurt you." And so that means that even though you might be going through it, you're going to get through it. Does that make sense? Yeah. And sometimes, now there are some times we will go through challenges because of bad decisions. You got it. There are times where you make a bad decision. And now you're just going through the consequence of the bad decision that you made. But either way, God's going to get you through it. He's a God of grace. He's a God of mercy. And he wants to help you. So the Bible says that the trying of our faith actually produces patience in our lives if we're willing to go through the process. Patience is the ability to handle delay and remain in joy. Not remain in frustration. Not remain in anger. Not remain in jealousy. Not remain in envy. But the Bible says that no matter what it is, even if it's somebody that's done you wrong, that you remain in joy knowing that God is going to get you through it. And that is something that is why we're such a strong faith church here, and we want you to understand that no matter what the situation is that you are facing in your life, and we're not making light of the situation, we just want you to know that God's going to get you through the situation. We just want you to know that you are going to come out on top. And so that's point number one, that you have to recognize what's really going on. So next time a challenge arises in your life, say, okay, I understand what's going on. You got it? Doesn't mean that I've necessarily done anything wrong. You got it? God is allowing me to go through this. However, he's not putting me, putting this on me, but God is going to get me through it if I just stay in faith. All right? All right. Everybody real strong, because I said real strong, number one. And so real, real strong, number two. Everybody say number two. All right, that's better. Cooperate with God's growth process. Cooperate with God's growth process. How many know sometimes we just don't really want to do it God's way? If we just be honest, but God's way is always the right way, and God's way is always the best way. And how many know sometimes you don't even understand God's way? You just have to do it God's way, right? So God loves you, and God wants to develop you. And this is one way that we can be developed when we're going through situations. So there's actually value in going through tough times. A lot of times you don't see the value until you have gone through the tough time. Does that make sense? Now let's pick up in verse 4 of James 1. He says, "But let patience," the ability to handle delay and remain in joy. Patience, another word for patience, I think they use in the NIV is perseverance, all right? So he says, "Let patience have its perfect work that you may be perfect." When that word perfect just means mature, all right? So that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. And so I have to go through this growth process that even though I don't like it, I understand it's going to produce some things in my life. I think Romans, the 5th chapter and the 3rd verse, and they'll put it up on the screen, kind of helps you understand how it works. It says, "And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also." Watch this. "Knowing that tribulations worketh patience, and patience and experience." So watch what. So when I'm going through things, God is, watch this, and I'm going through God's process, and I'm going through his growth process, there are some things that are being developed in my life. And so when I'm going through this tribulation or this test or this challenge or this trial or whatever you want to call it, the reason I don't have my head down, but I have my head up, I understand that, hey, God is going to get me through it. I'm going to have an attitude of faith, and it's developing some things that are going to mature me to make me an even stronger believer so I can help the other ones that are coming along the way. Does that make sense? And so he says, so this trial that I'm going through, it's going to work some patience in my life. And we all need patience in our lives. Isn't that right? Yeah, we all need the ability to produce patience in your lives. I think one of the best areas you can learn if you know, to produce patience in your lives is with your family. Like, if I can live with all these folks for all this long time, then, you know, and do good, then I have gotten through it. Praise the Lord. Praise Jesus. All right. Yeah. So, I should say, if I can get through living, you got it, without yelling and screaming and kicking the dog and choking the fish. All right. And patience experience, because after you have some experience, watch this now, when you go through something, you're like, oh, I've been through something like this before, so now I kind of have a little bit of experience of how to deal with it. And watch this, and experience brings hope. And the Bible says that hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God, thank you, Jesus, is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. And so the Holy Spirit is always there to lead us and to guide us and to help us. Does that make sense? 1 Peter, the first chapter, and the sixth verse, it says, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. He says that the genuineness of your faith, watch this, being much more precious than gold that perishes. So my faith is more important than anything. Your faith is more important than your house. Can I get a? Amen. Your faith is more important than your car. Can I get a? Amen. Your faith is more important than your ring. Can I get a? Amen. It's much more important than anything, all right? It says it perishes, though it's tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, of who he is. And so I cooperate with God's growth process, because you're going to get through what you're going through. Watch this. And Jesus is going to be glorified. Does that make sense? All right. So never forget that weapons may form, but they won't prosper. You might bend, but you're not going to break. You got it? And so you got to understand, nothing by any means shall be able to hurt you. And that's what you got to learn how to remind yourself when you're going through something. Father, I thank you, but nothing by any means shall be able to hurt you. They give you a bad report from the doctor. Nothing by any means shall be able to hurt you. Somebody tries to come against your character or your integrity or your business or your position on your job. Nothing by any means shall be able to hurt you. You got it? When I was younger and people came against me, I wanted to kind of like stand up for myself and fight back. And like, you don't know me. I ain't done nothing. I'm a man of integrity. I just have now learned, just stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Stand still and let the Lord fight for you. Does that make sense? Yeah. So I no longer have the need to try to defend myself. Hello, somebody. You got it? Because, watch this, because God is your greatest defender. All right? And so let's go through this. So number one, we said that we're going to recognize what's really going on. Number two, we are going to cooperate with God's growth process. Listen, the bottom line is, if you're in it, you're in it, so you might as well cooperate with God to get through it. Right? And then number three, here's a big one, ask for God's help. When should I ask for God's help? Right away. When do I ask for God's help? When do I ask for God's help? So I don't wait, I don't moan, I don't complain, I don't call somebody or 17 somebodies, you got it, and tell them, you know, what just happened and you ain't gonna believe this and those kind of things. No, I immediately ask for God's help. Let's go to verse 5. James says, if any of you lack wisdom, ye should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault. I don't know about you, but I'm so glad he'll give me wisdom without finding fault, because I don't always get it right. I don't always hit the mark. I want to hit the mark, but sometimes I don't always hit the mark. But thank God for a loving, generous God, that when you go to him and you need wisdom, he's not like, well, I would give you wisdom, but you should have came to me a week ago and you wouldn't. Thank God we don't serve a God like that. Thank God we serve a God that immediately will give us wisdom so we can get through the situation. Isn't that good? He says, if you know, so without fault finding, he said, and it will be given to you. And so, and truth be told, sometimes people don't ask for God's wisdom because they don't like God's answers. Because God has answers like apologize. Take responsibility for the part that you played in, even though they played the bigger part. Oh. Forgive them in spite of. Lord, Lord. Extend mercy. You got it? How about this one? How about you take the first step toward making things right? Lord, I don't want to do that because we wouldn't be in this situation in the first place if he wouldn't have acted so crazy. Now, God ain't said none of that. All right. So ask for God's help, which leads me to number four, keep a good attitude. Keep a good attitude. Watch what he says in verse 6. Are y'all getting anything out of this? He says, but when you ask, you must believe and not doubt. Because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. And so I've got to keep a good attitude. And what type of attitude is that? It is an attitude of faith. You got it? It is an attitude of faith. When you talk about an attitude of faith, that means that I'm going to stay in the fight. I'm going to be resilient. I'm going to put God at the top of the list and believe he's going to take care of the rest of my list. I'm going to forgive in spite of. I'm going to smile through my situation instead of walking around with my head down going through a pity party. I'm going to, watch this, acknowledge God. I'm going to acknowledge his word. I'm going to acknowledge that his promises have already come to pass in my life, even though they have not yet manifested, because I understand that if I keep saying what the word says and keep saying what the word says, I'm going to see the word manifest in my life. Does that make sense? Yeah. And so keep a good attitude. All right. Let's be real, real honest. This is just for the true Christians that are honest in the house. How many know sometimes it's not always easy to keep the best attitude? Right? But that's why Holy Spirit is there to help you. You got it? Because even, you know, have you ever gotten off, you know, you responded immediately the wrong way, but immediately the Holy Spirit said, oh, don't do that. And so you find yourself trying to fix your face. Yeah. Praise the Lord. All right. So let's go to James 1 and 12 now. We're about to flip the script, and we want to move from trials, you got it, and challenges, which is something that we go through, to temptations. Now, this is a whole totally different ball of wax when we start talking about temptations. James 1 and 12 says, blessed is the man who does what? Endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. And so I want to talk to you about how to deal with temptation. Like I said, those various trials and tests, those are common. You got it? And temptation is common too, but how we respond must be very different because trials and temptation is something that God allows us to go through. You got it? Because it develops us. This temptation thing, God doesn't want us to have anything to do with it. All right? I'm not saying that you'll never be tempted, because you will. We will all be tempted, you know, all through our entire life. But the way we respond to it, God wants us to respond very differently. Temptation is the enemy's attempt to lure you away from God. You got it? Just imagine, you know, you just fishing and you just throw that lure out, you know, and you're just reeling that thing in to the fish. Man, that thing looks good. You got it? So it might look shiny and that thing. And so the fish goes for it, but not realizing there's a hook in it. And that's the same way with the enemy. He'll lure you in and make something look good. And as soon as you bite, he hooks you in. And so the devil, you know, he doesn't play fair. How many know that? He will always bring an opportunity for you to do something that you shouldn't. And he makes the something look so good. And so, you know, nobody likes to talk about sin. But how many know we need to? Yeah. Sin will take you places you don't want to go, leave you longer than you intended on staying, and make you pray prayers that you shouldn't pray. You got it? Lord, if you just get me out of this situation, I won't ever ask you for anything again. I don't pray prayers like that. You got it? It's only 9:49 in the morning. I'm going to need him in about the next 7 minutes. You understand what I'm saying? So never pray prayers like that. Yeah, ask him to get you out of it, but don't tell him you won't ever ask him for anything again. All right? And so all temptation has is one goal. All temptation has is one goal, to get you away from God. That's the bottom line. And so I want to talk to you about temptation just for the next few minutes. Y'all getting something out of this? All right. So y'all did pretty good on the first half. Got a lot of amens. Let's see what happens on the second half. Praise the Lord. All right. Number one, no, because, because the Holy Spirit has a way of stepping on our toes. But how many know we need our toes to be stepped on sometime? All right. Number one, recognize the source of temptation. Recognize the source of temptation. Now, this is one thing I do not believe. I do not believe in the phrase, the devil made me do it. You got it? I do believe that he brings the opportunity. You got it? But you have to understand that you have to act on it. Does that make sense? Yeah. And so now I do believe that he is the source of temptation. God is not the source of temptation. James, the first chapter and the 13th verse says, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. I cannot tell you how many times people have been caught up in temptation and sin, and people told me, well, you know, God, he was just trying me, Pastor. No, he wasn't. Because the Bible says no one. Does it say no one? What's no one mean? No one should say God is tempting me, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. And so you got to understand and recognize the source, that it doesn't come from God, that it comes from the enemy, all right? And so, because I'm getting ahead of myself, but only good and perfect things come from God. Temptation isn't good and perfect, right? And so the moment temptation comes, the biggest reason you should push it off is because it didn't come from God. Right? It might look enticing, but it didn't come from God. All right? And so, which takes me, let's just jump right into number two. Everybody say number two. Understand the process of temptation. Understand the process of temptation. Now let's drop down to verse 14. He says, but each person, and so this is an individual thing, is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desires. KJV says, from their own lust, and enticed. And watch how James shows us like this process. There's like this five-step process during temptation that the devil would try to do. He says, but each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desires and enticed. He says, and then after that, desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And then after sin, when it is full grown, it gives birth to death. And so James is trying to give us wisdom and trying to teach us to, you know, to stay away. You know, he's talking to us about trials and he's talking to us about temptation. He said, okay, this is how you handle trials. It's something that you're going to go through. But temptation, on the other hand, is something that's going to present itself, but you got to pass it up every single time. Does that make sense? All right. And so I want to give you this five-step process that the enemy tries to do to lure you in to full-blown sin, which leads to death. All right. You know, and so, well, Pastor, I was waiting for a series on faith. Come back next week. All right. But we're going to talk about this because why? We have to grow and we have to develop. And that's a common point in our time where we continue to mature. When things show up in our lives, we know how to pass them because they're not God's best for our life. Does that make sense? Yeah. It's not God's best for our life. You got it? I mean, you know, just let you know. I mean, know if you're married, you don't need nobody else. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All right. How many know if you're not married, there's some things you shouldn't be doing. Isn't that right? Right. We talked about last week, the context of, how God puts everything in the context. And if we ever do anything outside of the context of what God has designed things for, it can be harmful to us. Remember, we talked about how sex was in the context of marriage. So if you do it on outside of the context of marriage, it can be harmful to us. Does that make sense? All right. So let's go through this process and let's just expose the enemy. All right. Number one, they don't have these on the screen. All right. This is just something that, you know, like I said, I kept rolling all week. All right. And so the first thing is temptation. So if you can take these points, those of you online, you can write these down. This is like this five-step process from the enemy, and we're just exposing the enemy. So the first one is temptation. Everybody say temptation. And so that's the first thing that the devil is going to do. He's going to tempt you with something that is enticing, that looks good. And let me just help you, whether you believe it or not, he knows your button. You got it. When it comes to, you know, when it comes to temptation, you know, and those kind of things, you know, there are probably a million things that just will not bother you. You tempt me with this? No. But there might just be that one thing, and you got to learn how to pass that one thing every time. And so what the enemy learns is, I'm not going to bring them with the 5,000 that don't bother them, but I'm going to bring them with that one. And if they push it away, that's okay. I'll just wait 6 weeks, 8 weeks, maybe 3 months, and try to present it again to look a little bit differently and a little more enticing for them to be tempted by it. All right? And I know that doesn't make you feel good, so let me just add something to make you feel a little bit better. Never associate the amount of temptation with your spirituality. All right. Never associate the amount of temptation with your spirituality. That's not the Bible. Yes, it is, because the Bible said that Jesus was tempted at all points. So he was tempted with everything. You got it. And so, but he knew no sin. And that was on purpose, because now when you go through something, Jesus already understands what you're going through. All right. And so the first one is temptation. Now, the second one is fantasy. Everybody say fantasy. This is, what would it be like? What would it be like if I ate it, or if I drank it, or if I smoked it, or if I slept with it, or if I watched it. You got it. It's real quiet in here. Praise the Lord. All right. Everybody say, watch your eyes. If you can control your eyes, you can win the game. You need to hear me now. If you can control your eyes, you can win the game. If you can control your eyes, you have won the game. All right? Job says, I made a covenant with my eyes. You got it. That there's things that I am not going to look onto. All right? Here's another one for you. Matthew, the 6th chapter and the 22nd verse. Matthew, the 6th chapter and the 22nd verse. It says, the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, watch this. What happens? Your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light, watch this, within you, if then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? And so what happens is you have to watch, you know, you have to be careful of what you allow your eyes. You know, we have different gates. You got your eye gate, you got your ear gate, you got it. You know, that's why the Bible says guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. How many know you got to be careful what gets inside of you? Because you have to understand, if the word gets on the inside of you, you become strong. If the word gets on the inside of you, you become full of faith. You got it? But if the wrong things get inside of you, you become full of the wrong things. Isn't that right? Yeah. And so we praise God for technology, and we praise God for the internet, because you can find all kind of things, but unfortunately you can still find wrong things. You got it. Wrong things that nobody should look at. Wrong things that we wait till nobody's around. Wrong things that we wait till late at night or early in the morning or when we're off by ourselves. And those are just things that the enemy is just using to pull you in, to pull you in, to pull you in. He makes it so enticing. You got it. And if you follow through with something, you realize, man, it wasn't worth it in the first place. You got it? Yeah. You know, I mean, you just gotta be careful. You got it, you know, because you know, I mean, brother's the, you know, little girl at McDonald's. She really don't want you. She's smiling through the drive-thru. She don't want you. She don't want you. Mm-mm. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All right, I'm gonna just leave that right on alone. No, because you know that the devil has a way of making you. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah. Yeah, you know, I mean, that, if I'm going through a drive-thru, you know, and a little girl like, how you doing? I'm 44 years old, married, been married 23 years. What I want to smile at you for? I'm not trying to be funny, but I'm 44. I'm not 19 and a half. You know what? hey, what's up? What's up? Now, what? Like, what I'm doing? Okay, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're going to go home soon. It ain't time to go home yet, but we're going to go home soon. I know that's our cue. that's our cue, but we ain't going home yet. Praise the Lord. I don't know I ain't got much time, but praise the Lord. All right, so there's temptation, there's fantasy, and then there's moving towards sin, moving towards sin. You haven't sinned yet, but you're taking steps. You're taking steps toward it. You haven't done it yet, but you're taking steps. You're changing your schedule. Oh, don't let me get into that. I don't want to expose everything, praise the Lord. See, you haven't sinned yet, but you're taking steps. And let me tell you the biggest problem about taking steps. As you take steps, the enemy starts to get you to think that the grass is greener on the other side. And it's not. First of all, if the grass was greener, the water bill would be higher. But it's not. Everybody say it's not. Yeah, no, the grass is not greener on the other side, all right? Okay, so what you have to do is you have to now, at this point, control the thoughts that are coming into your mind. Because now the enemy thinks he's got you, because he's got you at step number three. He's already passed temptation. He's already passed fantasy. You already started working out a plan. And so now you've got to learn how to cast those things off, all right? And because if not, you're going to end up in number four, which is the actual act of sin. This is when you indulge. And a lot of times when you see the word sin in the Bible, if you've ever noticed, you see another word that goes along with sin, and it's the word flee. Not the insect. You got it. But flee. In other words, run, forest, run. You got it. And you know, and if you have failed into sin, this is not one of those lessons to make you feel bad. You got it. This is a lesson just to help, watch this, to allow the Holy Spirit to convict or to convince you that that's the wrong way and God's way is the right way. Does that make sense? Yeah, let me just give you a little bit of help. Proverbs the 24, chapter 16, verse, because y'all are super quiet. And so I don't know if I even gave that to you, and if I didn't in the back, it's all right. It says that a righteous man falls 7 times, but it says every time he'll get up. Yes. You got it? But this time, get up and make a decision that you're never going to fall in the area again. Right. Does that make sense? Yeah, and so, you know, and you can, because the Holy Ghost lives on the inside of you, which gives you the power to make up your mind if you're going to or you're not going to. Does that make sense? Yeah. And so, you know, just heed to your pastor. Praise the Lord. All right. And so Hebrews 4 even actually says that Jesus, and go and read it, says that he sympathizes with our weaknesses, but not in the area of he sympathizes so that, you know, it's okay, just do it. No. He sympathizes in a way, the Bible teaches us, where he prays and he intercedes for you so that you won't fall into that trap. Does that make sense? Yeah, because, you know, let's go home, Fonz. The Bible says there's a way, because if you keep going and you keep going, watch this. There's temptation, there's fantasy, there's moving towards sin, there's the act of sin, and watch this. And if you get in that act of sin, and if you stay in that act of sin, the Bible says that death shows up. And a lot of times people say, oh, no, I'm okay, because I've been doing this and I ain't died. It's not always a physical death. There's a spiritual dip. There's a separation from you and God where you don't even feel, you can be in something for so long where you don't even feel conviction from God anymore. And it's not that God's not convicting you, but you have gotten comfortable in whatever you were doing. Proverbs 16 and 25 said there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And so I'm going to help you as we close, a little bit more volume. I'm going to help you as we close. When it comes to sin, and every person in this room has had to deal with temptation, with the whole process. There's not one person in this room that has not had to deal with this. But let me help you. Let me just tell you what Pastor does. This is what Pastor does. The enemy ever tries to tempt me in an area, this is what I do right away. I minimize the pleasure and I maximize the consequence. Everybody say, minimize the pleasure, maximize the consequence. So this is what I do. This is what I do. This is what you need to do. I'm telling you, this works. I make a list, even if it's a mental list. If you're really dealing with something, I want you to start writing down and making a list of all the bad things that will happen if you do that. All the bad things that happen. And I always start, I'll disappoint God. I'll disappoint my wife. I'll disappoint my children. I'll disappoint all of you that look up to me as a leader and a man of God. And the list goes. And listen, after you get, you know, for me, I don't have to get too far down the list. But, you know, you come up with 15 things that will happen that are bad. And watch this. All of a sudden, it almost makes you see a little bit clearer and say, man, that's not worth it. I got this going for me and that going for me. I got God's favor on my life. So why in the world would I want to mess up and fall into that? When God wants just to give me peace and he wants to give me increase and he wants to do so many great. Because listen, does the Bible say that your later is going to be greater? Yeah. So then watch this. Tomorrow, watch this, means that my best days are ahead. And so I'm not going to do anything to mess up my future. Hello, somebody. Fooling around with the devil. Watch this. And the Bible says that sin is only pleasurable for a season. And sometimes seasons are short. One night stand, that's a short season. Heads about, eyes are closed. This quiet group up in here, praise the Lord. It's okay. I know this is what God wanted me to teach, so it's been good. But we have a few leaders that have to move so they can move at this time. If everybody else could just please stay seated. This is what I want you to do. Well, heads about, eyes are closed. I don't want you looking around. I don't want you focusing on anybody else. This is what I want you to do. I want you to say, God, what are you saying to me? Right now, I want you to say, God, what are you saying to me? I don't know what God's saying to you because I don't know anybody's situation in the room. Only situation I know are my situations. And so don't think anyone said anything. No, I just want you to say, God, what are you what are you talking to me about? What do you need me to do? What areas do I need to make an adjustment in? And I promise you, God will speak to you. And I'm telling you, the enemy is just, he's there to lure you away from God. He's there to lure you away from God's goodness. And he's there to lure you away from all the great things that God wants to do in your life. And I want you right now to make a decision and tell the devil, no, I'm done. It's over. I quit you. I'm finished with it. I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm making a right now commitment to righteousness to do it God's way. And if I do it God's way, I know I'm going to get God results. And God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for making mistakes. I'm sorry for going through that process, because at point number one, you told me to stop. And at point number two, you told me to stop. And point number three. And so God, forgive me for ignoring you. But let me just tell you something about God. He's not mad at you. God's not upset with you. God's not angry with you. As a matter of fact, he had me teach this lesson today just for you, so you could say, you know what? I'm going to get it right. And in getting it right and making the decisions to get it right, it might mean that you owe some people some apologies. It might mean that you owe a friend an apology, or you owe a spouse an apology, or you know, just depending on the situation, or the person you were caught up with, you need to owe them an apology. You need to call them, text them, whatever, say, hey, listen, it's over. God told me as of today it's over. I'm sorry. I'm sorry if I messed up your life. I'm not trying to mess up my life. I'm moving on. This is the last time you'll ever hear from me. Or maybe what you need to do is use them features that we use for our children that only let you get on certain areas of the internet. Go to somebody that you trust. If you're married, go to your spouse. Was she going to be thinking I'm doing something wrong? No. And just say, hey, add some of those and put your own code in it. And that way it makes sure that I only go to the right sites and never go to the wrong sites. Oh, but that would make me a real man. Oh, that would make you better than a real man. Because what's that? What you're doing is you're letting the devil know you're not going to get me, and I got a partner that's going to make sure that doesn't happen in my life. And so, Father, we thank you for what you're doing in the lives of the people and how you're speaking to them. And I declare in the name of Jesus that there is no condemnation in this room in Jesus' name. For there is no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. Maybe conviction to convince us to do right, but no condemnation. I thank you that the people of God only feel your love and your grace and your mercy and your acceptance in Jesus' name. Now, if you're in this room and you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, if you're watching online and you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, I want you to repeat this after me. Everybody in the room, I just want you to pray this simple prayer. Say, Father, I come to you asking you to forgive me for sinning against you, a holy God. I know Jesus died and shed his blood just for me. Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. And from this day forward, I'll serve you. Now, Satan, I denounce you and every evil work. You have nothing to do with me. I have nothing to do with you. Jesus is my Savior. He's my Lord, and I'll always serve him. Now, Father, we thank you for what you've done. We give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Can you give the Lord a big hand? Praise all over the building.